Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you. We adore you. We thank you. We belong to you, Lord. We are in Christ. We are in you, Lord. You are all that we need. And we're so grateful. We're so grateful. You always take care of us. You watch after us. You correct us. You bless us. You gather us up when we need to be gathered up. I thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this family of believers. I thank you for their faithfulness and their service. I thank you that tonight you would bless them, increase them, bring them into such great joy and blessing and influence that they'll have to tell the world about it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Danny's going to tell you something.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. So this month we have a few items coming up that I want to let you know about. On April 20th, that's a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. I was like, make eye contact. At 9 o'clock Saturday, the 20th, we will be having a man of God meeting here in the house. We would love for you to join us. Come in, be in the house, be here with us, not with me, but with the men, and be here and fellowship with them and get to know them, get to be with them. February 27th, that is 1 week later, we will be here in the house again, and it will be a Women of Victory meeting. Ladies, I am telling you, you want to be in the house. Our friend Parrish Stone is coming from big old Quinlan, Texas, and it's not very big, actually, but their church, I think, has about half the population, so praise God. But you want to be in the house with us on April 27th. She is a powerful preacher, a powerful woman of God, and her and her husband together may be some of the funniest people I've ever met in my entire life. They will have you rolling on the floor. They are absolutely wonderful. And so please be here in the house for that. Invite your friends. Tell them to come join us. It's going to be a wonderful time together. And then April 28th, so that Sunday, Pastor Casey Stone will be in the house here, and he will be ministering that morning. I am telling you, you want to be here for that. You want to be here for that, and you want people to be here with you for that. It is going to be an awesome time, and so please come, bring a friend, show up. It's going to be a wonderful time together. So that's the 27th and 28th. I also wanted to let you know that I got that the Highland Lakes Crisis Network reached out to me. They said that they are needing cleaning supplies in the house, in their commissary for other people's houses. I've just used the word house a lot, I guess. But they're needing laundry soap, cleaning items for the home, different things like that. So if while you're at HEB, while you're out grocery shopping, when you're out and about, if you could pick up some of those cleaning items, bring them here, put them in that tub. I know I haven't taken it because there's not been a whole lot in there. So if we could fill that up, I can take that over to them, and we can get that commissary filled up. So what they do is they have those supplies in there. So if people are needing cleaning supplies for their homes, they had a crisis come up, they had something come up, or possibly they just need some additional assistance, then they go ahead and have those items there for them. So if you're looking for a way to give back, it's a wonderful, easy way to give back. You're going to HEB anyways, so you may as well just pick a few extra things up. Amen. All right, I believe that's it. Y'all enjoy.
All right. Praise the Lord. God is good. How many of you are here tonight? All right. Good, good. Good to be here. Praise God. Well, I just need you to go. I need you to stand up if you had any hail damage. Stand up so we can. Okay. All right. Now, God is the restorer.
Yes, he is.
And he's going to restore.
Yep.
So I'm standing too. We had some too. Mm-hmm. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, for every person standing here that experienced some trouble, some hail damage, you're the supplier, you're the provider, and we thank you. We claim our tithers' rights, and we claim mercy as well.
Yeah.
So we thank you, Lord, for helping everyone get what they need fixed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So you're going to be all right, and God's going to take care of it. And the devil is a liar.
Yep.
And don't go, why couldn't I? Why weren't my words? He'll let us know. Because it hit my house too. And it never does. And I was so sure I could take care of it. So there was a hole in the hedge somewhere. We're going to get the correction. And we're going to get it fixed. Amen. And just remember this. We're on a path to build capacity for our faith. So don't expect that the devil wouldn't try to do something. But also I know that the God that we serve will restore and he'll make it better. In fact, out of all the things that could get hit in our house, there's this little satellite this big that brings in our internet, and the hail hit that. But did you know the guy showed up our house this morning and put a better one up, and we're running a little faster. So I expect the better. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Hebrews 11:1. You know it, but let's go there.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing.
Yeah.
Good things are happening.
Yeah.
Just know, there's no need to get all upset. He can take care of it. And he will.
Yep.
Just trust him. We used to say this all the time to each other. Trust and go. Trust and go. Something happens, trust and go. You'll be all right. Just keep going forward. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're talking about faith. We talked about the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We talked about that. You know, the whole kingdom of God works by faith in the form of sowing and reaping. You're like, it does? Yes, it does. Think about it. What you put in your heart, what you speak out your mouth, what you're sowing into your heart, what you're sowing, it you get a harvest from that. That's how faith works. The whole kingdom of God works that way. You're never going to get away from being a farmer, church. That's how it works. So far we've been discussing confession. We've been talking about our confession. Now, we can see in the Word that Jesus is the high priest of our confession, can we? We all know the scriptures here, and if you don't, you can go look them up. But that simply means that Jesus is managing out what we're saying with our words that are words of faith. He's not managing out, poor me, woe is me, I beg God, blah, blah. He's managing out words of faith. And so that's what a high priest does. They manage things. Well, it says he's the high priest of our confession. And so he's taking what we say and giving it life, bringing more to pass with it, okay? You're giving it some life. He's giving it some life. So that means that Jesus is doing that. Now, we also can see that confession creates our future.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Confession creates our future. So we can see that confession is actually a tool. It's a part of that we use to build our faith. It causes us to believe, which causes us to confess the right things. And I hope you just got that. Confession's an interesting thing because it's on two sides of it. You can actually be saying the word. It goes into you, and then you start saying it by faith.
Oh, that's
And then it comes to pass. You see that? Yeah. So confession kind of is riding on both sides of that. It helps you when you're actually confessing the word. We talked about that last week. We talked about the fact that meditation is quoting the word. It's quoting the word. It's thinking about it. It's thinking about what it does for you. Now, we talked about this. If you could get a picture of who you are and you begin to confess in him, in whom, right? Remember we talked about that? In Christ. And you would begin to circle all that in your Bible. You find out who you are. You'd find out what you have, what you could have faith in, and just all sorts of things. So I ask you if you would study that. Did any of you study of it? Did any of you look at in him, in whom? Okay, so praise the Lord. So I actually am going to bless you with something. I actually got you books called In Him. So Bob, if you'll pass those out to people on this side. Who wants to pass? Okay. Pass those out over here. And so you'll have your own copy. So we just made it really easy for you to get a picture of what you need. Amen. Now, while they're passing it out, don't be watching them. Listen to me, okay? Because we got to keep going. Okay. So praise the Lord. So you're welcome. Thank you for saying thank you. I'm happy to supply you with faith tools. There's more coming, by the way. So, there's actually, now you're back with me? There's a divine intersection. And we're going to start seeing this divine intersection as we're walking through this. We're going to now go and we're going to start drilling down. But then when we get to Sunday, we're going to drill down even further into something. Wow. And so be sure and don't miss the services. If for some reason you can't be here, be sure and catch up online, okay? So you find a promise in the Word. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. The force of hope then rises up. I'm talking to you about that scripture I just read. The force of hope will rise up and it says this. Oh, I can have that. Does it? When you see who you are in Christ or what it says is your promise, you go, oh, I can have that. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So then the force of faith kicks in and says, if I can have it, then I'm going to take it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Isn't that what faith does? It says, well, then that's mine. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So, that was Bob, if y'all wanted to know on camera. There's Bob right there. Okay, so that creates substance or assurance or confidence, right? That's what faith does. So it's like a title deed. My car is sitting in my garage, but if anyone came and said, that's not yours, I could go to my little safe thing and pull out my title and say, yes, it is mine. Oh, yes, it is mine. So that's what the devil will do. He'll say, that's not yours. And I'll say, yes, it is. Healing is mine. Prosperity is mine. Deliverance is mine. It belongs to me. Sonship is mine. Daughtership. But belongs to me. This is who I am. Oh, yes, it is. So faith gets that. It is the title deed to what we're looking for. And so it creates a confidence. It's a title of deed of what you are earnestly expecting. In the Bible, and maybe I should just say this for maybe somebody that's watching that doesn't know this, but hope is not, well, I'm just a wishing and a hoping. It's not wishing. Bible hope is earnest expectation. Okay? It has a force to it. Faith, hope, and love are forces. They're higher laws and they flow on a higher plane than just what our emotions would. Mm-hmm. So then once you know what you have something, what do you do? What did you do just a minute ago when I gave you a book? You said thank you. Okay, so there's your manifestation. So confession then is playing a big role here. It's in the feeding your spirit part. Yeah. It's in the receiving part. Mm-hmm. And it's in the thanking God after you received it part. Mm-hmm. So there's your three says in Mark 11. Uh-huh. Yeah, looking like, you know, y'all know Mark 11, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it says you will say when you pray, if you say, it has it three times. And so here you have What's going on? Well, you know what? I wrote it down here. How convenient. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you. So now Jesus is saying what he believes. He believes that you can do this. And Jesus doesn't say anything he doesn't believe. So he believes that I can do this. Okay. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for. So here's hope now coming. Hope's coming in. I see I can have it, so now I'm gonna go ahead and pray for it, okay? Believe that you receive it. Here comes faith, okay? Believing you receive it, and you shall have it. There's the faith fully in contact, and then you thank God for it. Now, that's basic. Most of us know this. Most of us know everything I've said from the beginning till right here. So let's go deeper. We said that hope is like a picture or like a blueprint, okay? Yeah. Now, you read that Jesus healed them all and that healing is the children's bread. You read, by his stripes you were healed, you know. So you know, you saw it in the word, and you get that picture in your mind that maybe you're walking better, maybe you feel stronger, maybe that pain left your body. You get an image that you could be free of that pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get an image that you'd be free of the limp. You get an image that you'd be free of hearing loss or whatever it might be. You begin to get that image that it's gone. Stay with me. So, you know, so what are you using there? What is that? You saw in the word that if you dwell in the secret place that you're protected. So you're getting an image there. Hey, I'm protected. I don't care what hell come out of the sky. I was protected. Right? Amen. Okay. So you got an image of being protected. You saw in the word that you could prosper. The Bible tells us that you could prosper or that you could have a favor in a certain situation. So you then see yourself with more or having a favorable encounter. I'm going to have a favorable encounter here.
Yes.
As soon as we started moving and doing what we all needed to do today, immediately favor kicked in.
Yeah.
At our place.
Yeah.
Immediately. Our insurance company, 721 calls. Guess who got called back? We did. The internet company, immediate. Hey, Miss Field, we're 5 minutes from your house. Come on over here. Here, we have something better for you. Immediately, favor started kicking in.
Yeah.
Okay, got it? So you see that you can have that. So what's going on? What's really going on when we see we can have something? We said we see a picture. Okay? What is that? Imagination. Imagination. Now go with me here. Imagination is the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in this reality, third dimension, creative ability, a creation of the mind. So everything we see came from something we could not see. Am I right? That's how the kingdom of God works. That's what God did. He didn't create from nothing. He created from things that couldn't be seen here in this dimension. Come on, this is easy. All right, now, so everything we see pre-existed in the mind of God. And that preceded everything. Okay? So God created the world, listen, through imagination. Okay? He created it through imagination. If God created the universe with imagination, and then he gives us imagination, then it must be an awesome gift. Okay? Now, right now, you're living your life. Don't throw anything at me now here. Right now, you're living your life according to the most dominant images that you have. That's how you're living your life right now. The most dominant images that you have, that's why your life is how it is. How do I know that? Because as a man thinketh, so is he. Okay. So, the most dominant images. So, the circumstances have been created by the images within yourself. So my question to you is, how's that working for you? Yeah, how's that working for you? Could life be better? Listen, my life's pretty good. I don't have a thing to complain about. Could my life be better? Certainly. Certainly it could be better. There's areas physically that my life could be better. There's things that we could be functioning better at. We could have more influence, yada, yada, yada. We should all say that our life could be better. And some of ours may be better than some people sitting here. And there are reasons for that. It has to do with image. It has to do with some of the things that you choose to do, because life is choice driven. But think, you're choosing those things because of an image you have. Yeah, you are. And you're sitting around thinking about how you're going to pay so-and-so back. Okay, I'm not going there. Praise the Lord. So, I have good news for you though. You can change your life by changing the image on the inside of you. You can change it, but it's going to be up to you. I can feed you this, but you're going to have to make the decision whether you're going to make the changes or not. So here's something to keep in your thinking. Okay, you ready? All right. Everything is created twice. Everything, this is not hard. Everything's created twice. There's a mental image. And there is that which takes place in the physical realm. So it first gets created inside you before it happens out here. How many times have you heard someone say, I knew this would happen? How'd they know? They had that image. I told you that was going to backfire. Murphy's Law. Amen. Let's just turn that around. I knew favor was going to happen. I knew I was going to succeed. I knew God would heal me. I knew I could go forward. I knew people were going to get saved. I knew my relatives would come to God. Whatever it is. How about if you had that kind of image? Listen, this is so important. They're both realities. What you're thinking is a reality. The Bible tells us that. The world we see is real, but it existed in the imagination of God first. So God himself began with the end in mind. You can read Ephesians and see that. Am I right? Okay. So it must be the same with us. What we're hoping for, what we're dreaming about, that is spiritual substance right there of the things that we want to come into this visible world. I don't care if it's a pickup truck. I don't care if it's you having the most successful business in the world or winning 400 people to Christ this week or whatever it is, it starts in here. And it gets to here, and we're going to talk about that. It's going to take me two sessions. We're going to have to hit it on Sunday too. But this actually brings to pass, this is what faith is, church. This, I'm telling you, hope and faith right now. You start getting an image, you're hoping. You start getting these confessions, these other things going with it, you start faithing. Okay? I'm jumping ahead. Let's go here first. So we must always begin with the end in mind. Because everything is created twice. So what do you see yourself doing? You see yourself hobbling along for the next 10 years? Do you see yourself getting to run? Do you see yourself being able to do what you need to do? Do you see yourself in an old down broken car and sleeping on an old dirty mattress and being homeless? Or how do you see yourself? You just need to start thinking everything is looking good. Everything, you just need to start, because that's what God intends. Amen. We're not even going to go to the religious side of that. All right. So we always begin with the end in mind. Now, first creations are spiritual realities. Whatever you're building in here is a spiritual reality. Second creations are physical realities. Let's talk about Lizzie. She believed she received a bunch of clients. She sowed a seed, and she also put in her heart and used her faith. Now it's manifested.
Yeah.
She has all the clients she needs at her job. This is real stuff.
Yeah.
This is how faith works. Well, I just don't know if God wants me to, win. Read the Bible. All right. Oh, this faith stuff just makes me sassy. Y'all have to excuse me. I just get right on the edge of fussing at y'all when I get with this. I apologize, but it's just like, come on, man. Come on. God loves you. He wants you to win. He wants your kids to win. He wants you well. This is God's will. But you've got to choose it. All right. So, all second creations originate from first creations.
Wow.
Once again, we're made in the image of God. Once again, he's a creator. We both create by using imagination. Now, we want to talk about prayer. We want to talk about prayers that create the future. Just for a minute here. Listen to me. I'm going to give you a good statement here. You're going to write this down. That's what Jesse would say. Yeah, write this down. Okay. The best way to predict your future is to invent it. Well, you know. No? Invent it. Yeah. The best way to for you to invent your future is for you to invent it. Like, I don't know how to do that. Well, that's what you're here for. So, I understand that there are things coming our way that are outside of our control somewhat. Somewhat. But in your atmosphere, in your circle, you can learn to, what was Danny saying on thermostats? Learn to respond and not react. You learn to respond to these things and you just don't react. Get all. My brother called me a little while ago. Y'all okay? We just saw on the news. I said, it's just stuff. God's got plenty of stuff. You fix it. No big deal. He said, well, we're so glad to hear you say that. I'm like, we're fine. Be all right. That's my Tobyism. Be all right. Amen. That's my son, for those of you that don't know. So, we're talking about prayer. I understand that there are things coming our way, but we're not left to the mercy of fate or the actions of other people. I don't care what they're doing. To quote my father in the Lord, a believer should never have to change how they're living based on what's going on outside of them. I don't care. You're like, well, look at America and look at the high price. But you shouldn't have to change your living. God will supply. Hey, we went through how many? All of us together. Some of us have been together a long time. We went through presidents that jacked up gas prices, kind of like they are now. And did all, but did we all make it? Did we go where we want to go and do what we wanted to do? We did. We ate what we wanted. We all made it. Why? Because we should never have to change the way we live because of what's going on out in the world. Yeah. That's your promise. You're the kid. You're the king's kid.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so I think Abraham Lincoln understood this. So I'm going to read you something he said. You're going to recognize it. Okay? All right. Listen to these words. 80 years ago, our forefathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty. Brought forth, conceived in liberty, and upon this, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, brought forth for what they had conceived in liberty. What they brought forth was a second creation that they had conceived the first creation. They conceived, we can have a nation like this. And then they brought it forth. Oh, that's right. They brought it forth with declaration. Okay. Just telling you. Yeah. So, see, our forefathers weren't content to just let the future just happen. Well, whatever happens, we know it's bad. I mean, think about all the things that are going on now. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not content with leaving it alone. We have to stand for truth. Amen. So what they did is they prayed, they imagined a new nation and brought it forth. Now that's a path we can all get on.
Yes.
Amen. So the very best way to predict the future is to create it. The very best way to predict the future is to invent it. Create your future, church. Invent the future. And this is what we hear spoken of in the marketplace. When you see entrepreneurs and people starting businesses, they're going to tell you, create your future. Am I right, Ronnie? This is what happens out in the marketplace. Things like this. If Art was here, well, Amanda's here. I'm right, aren't I? People that you work out in places like that. So this is exactly, though, it's not just marketplace. This is exactly what the Bible teaches. It's exactly what the Bible teaches. So, see, this is not just for entrepreneurs or visionaries of business. All of God's people can create a kingdom future using the power of God-given imagination. Now, on Sunday, I'll run it back and tell you why Christians don't go here.
Yeah.
Because we're Western thinkers. But I'll tell you about it then. So don't shut me down. God, I'll just tell you this. This will help you. God said that the people at Babel could do whatever they imagined they could do.
Yeah.
Now, they were doing wrong.
True.
But the truth is still in that. That whatever you imagine can happen.
Yeah.
Okay, you with me? So I just thought I'd throw that out there in case some of y'all are going, ah. All right, now, this is not just for entrepreneurs. All God's people can do it. So, here, church, we are not victims of circumstance. So don't act like it today. If your windshield got busted out yesterday, I'm telling you today, things are different. Well, I didn't have what I need to get it fixed. Oh, yeah, you do. Do you?
Yeah.
You have God.
Yes.
Well, I don't have the right insurance. Well, instead of sitting around and crying about it, are you a tither?
Come on. Yes.
Or if you're not, I mean, check your records. If you're not, then start today. And are you a faith person? Are you a child of God? Because he'll take care of you. And if you've fallen short, there's mercy. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we can be proactive in shaping our futures. So what is proactive? Tending to initiate change rather than reacting to events. Denoting a mental process that affects a subsequent process. That means you develop something that will turn out better. Okay? That's a simple way for me to say it. So if you're going to create the future, you have to consciously and wholeheartedly take responsibility for the quality of life in the future. So how do you want your future to be? You're going to be afraid. You're going to be stuck. You're going to be a failure. What are you going to do? It's your choice. It's going to be your choice. And you can literally, when I'm talking hope, I'm talking imagination. Get the picture of what God has for you. And not just for you, church. Remember, this isn't just about you. This is about a world that needs you. This is about influence. I'm here putting this in you. You're getting it so you can change the world. Okay? So we're not here doing a bless me club. We're talking about the future of this world. It's way bigger than just us. Now, pull your toes in a little bit here. You must not see yourself as a victim. Church, let me just give you a little nugget here for just a minute. Victims are not just people that are hurt by systems or others. That's not right. There's people who are living in entitlement right now, okay? The victim mentality manipulates and blames. You hear me? Yeah, they do. Let's go with blame first. It's always someone else's fault. That's victim mentality. Always someone else's fault. Well, they didn't, right? It's their fault. It's their fault my life is like this. You've heard it. It's always someone else's fault. And they always have an excuse. Listen to me. Write this down. Excuses are nails that build the house of failure. Excuses are nails that build the house of failure. Stop giving the excuses. Victims give excuses. Victors, what do? They admit the truth, go forward, and get in faith. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. We succeed. Now, are y'all still here?
Yeah.
You okay with me, right? All right. So, secondly, let's just take a little, another half of the nugget here. When people become emotional about victim people, perhaps in a compassionate way or admirable way, they'll play this card. Well, they start telling everybody what they need, and they pretend that they're using their faith. Are you with me? You can be with me because you're not a victim. But you need to recognize this. And if you are, come out today. Okay? So start telling people their needs. And then they say this, well, I really just need you to agree with me. But they don't mean that. They're letting you know. I used to have some friends that they'd send me a text or an email, and they would say, can y'all please pray for us because we need money, or we need this, or we need that, or our car broke, or da da da. And they were not asking for agreement. Right. They wanted money.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's that victim mentality. You're going to have to decide whether you're going to manipulate people with entitlement or you're going to trust God. And we are people who are going to trust God. And so we can help people with this, church. People, a lot of people don't realize that. They don't realize they're doing that. But it is there and it is true. And we are not going to be victims because you are not helping your future. Amen. Everybody good. Okay. So, manipulation is outside the kingdom of God. It doesn't work. You don't manipulate people. That's right. You don't manipulate God either. All right. A little bit further, and then we're going to close this down, and we'll get it out on Sunday morning. So this is something you really need to deal with. We can't lie to ourselves. It's so important that we don't lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
One of you texted me today and said, man, I missed it on this thing with the hail. I'm going to work on my faith. And I was so blessed that they didn't go, you know, maybe God, let's reverse this. They just took the responsibility. And I wrote them back and I said, me too. Because for 22 years I've rebuked hell and it left. But it came to my house last night. So it's time for me. I said, correct me, Lord. What did I do? Where did I get lazy about this? Where did I drop off on my authority? Correct me. I want to know the truth. And go back there and fix that up. We all miss it sometimes, church. But don't just lie to yourself and say, well, maybe God did it this time to teach me a lesson. Give me a break. Sorry. There it goes again. All right. Now, so we don't need to wonder when, just ask why, but you don't have to wonder when the devourer shows up. He's found some entrance, but you can get him out quick. You can get him out quick and then God will fix it. So sometimes, listen, we're human. Sometimes we leave a little gap, but we close it. You with me? So don't go, oh man, I'm embarrassed. Stop it. Just move forward. All right, now, imagination. It's good used the right way. And I think in our faith walk, we skip steps. So you can't just repeat what you hear someone else confess. Pastor says this all the time. I'm just going to say it. Brother Jerry says this all the time, so I'm just going to say it. See, you have to learn to be a voice and not an echo. You have to get the word for yourself and bring it out. You can't depend on your husband. You can't depend on your wife. You can't depend on the pastor. You can't depend on Brother Copeland or anybody else, whoever it is you listen to, Brother Hagin's books or Brother Bill Johnson or whoever. You're going to have to pick it up yourself and get it in there. Okay? And so it's going to have to be up to you. I actually had someone tell me, oh man, probably three years into the ministry, a lady came to the church and she said, well, I'll let you do my studying for me. And I guess you could probably imagine what I said to her. I just told her, and you will fail. You will fail because I can't do your studying for you. I'm here to feed you the food, to teach you things, but I can't do the studying for you. I can't just study for preaching. I have to study for myself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, now, so let's finish up here. You have to be honest. The hell got through because obviously I missed it somewhere. But we're fixing it, okay? Can we just take that and deal with it and go on? Amen. So if these things aren't changing, if there's something that isn't changing, get some wisdom. That's the first thing I went after. Okay, if any man lack wisdom, Lord, I'll tell the Lord, just correct me, just correct me. Go ahead, just tell me. I don't care how it feels, just correct me. But he's so good about it. Amen. And he doesn't condemn you. The scripture says he doesn't. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God who gives it freely without criticism. He will not criticize you when you miss it. He'll just give you the answer. And I just told everybody, we had an extra little thing going out on thermostats. I said, don't beat yourself up over anything. Just go on down the road and listen. And in a minute, he'll say, hey. Yeah. Remember, can I tell you a quick story? I'm almost done. We're doing good on time and I'll give you a couple of things else, but my little puppy died before you guys came along. It was about 2006. My little Max died. And I thought I had stood in such faith. I mean, me and some other friends, we were standing in faith. And he had an autoimmune disease, and we came home from a park gospel meeting thing, and he ran out to me and fell over in the yard. And so we took him to the vet, and he was at the vet, and I had to leave him because I was teaching at Christ for the Nations up in Dallas that next morning. And so I had to go up. He's at the vet. I'm about to walk out on the stage there in this big classroom and teach at Christ for the Nations, and the vet calls me and tells me he died right then. Now, what do? You take the runway. You get in your plane and you fly. And so I got up there and I preached and I taught and I did everything I needed to do. And when I got back in the car and was driving away from Christ for the Nations, I fell apart. I was just so sad because this was my little baby. And I didn't realize I started grieving. And going, what was wrong? What was wrong? What did I do? And the Lord wouldn't answer me because I was wondering. And so I was driving down the road and I got right out to Cimarron Ranch. A week later or so. No, it was longer than that. Several weeks later. And he came up to me and the Lord shouted at me, you refuse to be comforted. And I was like, Lord, you're right. I was just refusing to be comforted over this dog dying, which may not be much to y'all, but he was my baby. And so I just took that, and I immediately got comforted. Immediately I got comforted. And then he told me what I did wrong. I got in fear. I got in fear. And I got wobbly And I didn't fight the good fight of faith with him like I could have. But he didn't, and I failed, and praise the Lord. We got up and went on though, didn't we?
Sure did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and that's what we have to do.
That's right.
But so the interesting thing about God is I messed it up, but he comforted me and then corrected me. I hope that just helps somebody. I don't know why I wanted to tell that, but praise the Lord. All right, so let's just run down the path here real quick. So we want to be honest. I just was honest with you about some of the things that happened to me. Resist the devil. Resist him. He'll flee from you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In other words, humble yourself on under all that he can do for you. He has so much he can do for you. His mighty hand. Humble yourself under that. And the Bible says that in due time, he'll exalt you above the problem. Mm-hmm. He'll exalt you above the problem. That word do is actually not in the Greek there. What it really says there is when you humble yourself under the resourceful strength of God,
yeah.
Mighty hand, resourceful strength of God, that at the moment you humble yourself, he will bring you and exalt you above the problem. Well, I don't think he did that for me. Well, maybe you didn't humble yourself. All right. Be sober. Don't be somber. Be sober. Be clear-headed. Learn to trust God. And we'll talk about that pretty soon. Now, here we're going to start closing up here. Don't skip steps. Don't skip steps. Don't just say, hey, I declare I have a new car. Go to God, get a picture, ask for the car. With some things you can skip asking, like when it comes to authority, I declare, the Bible says declare a thing, it shall be established and God will light your path. But your baby is gonna get milk, but you taught your baby to be polite and ask for it. So we ask God. Now, Lord, I want a new car. Is it time?
Yes.
Is it time? And what should I look at? Because he'll come right in there and find the right thing and start going through this process with you to get the car, to get the truck, to get the house, to get the clothes, to get the favor, to get the jobs, to get the healing, to get the whatever it is you need. To get the influence you need to help change people's lives. You with me? All those things. Okay. So don't skip the step. Go to him and talk to him and ask him. And then believe you receive it. Sow a seed for it. Stand in faith. And don't get double-minded about it. Well, I don't know. Well, I have it. Well, I don't know. Well, I have it. Well, I don't know. Well, it sure doesn't look like I have it. It's not about how it looks. It's about if you already created it in here. If you already got the image, it's yours. All you have to do is believe you receive it. So that's when you take it. Oh, that's in the Bible. That's who I am. I can have that. I take it. And then what do? You thank God for it.
Yeah.
Don't skip those steps and don't skip the step of putting the word so you can get the image. Ooh, I'm about to go off on Sundays. I have to watch out here. Now, so if you know God wants you to have it, that's half the battle.
Yeah.
Does he want you to have it? So if you've been brought up religiously, well, we don't like the prosperity message. Well, then you're going to have to get over that and you're going to have to change what you think, because the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no toil to it. In other words, you're empowered to prosper. God wants you to prosper because he wants you to be a distribution center. He doesn't want you just buying 15 boats. There's a reason for it, fine. But there's a better reason. You got a boat, you can take some people out and get them saved.
Amen.
Throw them over the side, get them baptized, whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Teach them how to recreate.
Hey, Jesus used somebody's boat.
Yeah. He sure did.
Mm-hmm.
He sure did.
He'll use your boat. But the point I'm trying to make is you're going to have to throw out those old traditional thoughts. And you'll have to do it. And sometimes it's hard on people. They don't want to change. But if you really read the word, you're going to find out that God is the blesser. And I don't know about you, but I always wanted my kid to do good. I want him to do good. I want him to be blessed. I want him to have good house, good clothes, feel healthy, do good, be prosperous, have favor. I want my boy to have that. I have one boy and one grandboy. And as far as I'm concerned, they're going to do good. We just had a meeting at the house with the family the other day, and they're talking about college. I almost leaped over the bar there, and y'all know how big that is. I almost leaped over that bar and said, he'll go wherever God wants him to go. He's going to do whatever he wants. You know, because I'm just determined that he's going to get to do. Yeah. But his life is already planned out. He's already had so much good confession over him. He's only a freshman in high school. He's already getting college classes. He's already going to have all his all the credits, the hours, all that stuff. I got to talk fast because I got to get finished. But he's going to be a vet. And so he's already got the plan. Gran's going to help.
Right.
Mostly because Jesus is going to help. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Okay, so don't skip any steps. And it helps if you have a good grandmother. Now, he does want you to have it. It's about deserving. So we'll just pick up there Sunday. Let's just stop right there. But you're going to have to get this, church. You got to start it in here. Spend some time. Go walk down the street or go sit somewhere or riding in your car and think about, it's okay to think about winning. Something in your past may want you to feel guilty about that. That's stupid. People are like, well, you know, everybody needs to get a trophy. No, the winner does. It's just true. Don't get mad at me, but it's true. The winners need to get the trophies. And we're getting them because we're winners. Overwhelming victory is ours because Christ loved us enough to die for us. We're going to win. And we're going to have... Just prepare yourself because we're going to have just these kind of teachings from now until July 31st. We're not stopping until your faith is sky high and you're spitting bullets and you're doing and getting what God wants you to get. Some of you can be able to pay for your child's university by the time we get to July. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Praise the Lord. We're going to win. And everything's going to be restored. So get your mind off what went missing in the last few days. It's going to be restored.
Absolutely.
No, I'm going to change that. It is restored.
It is restored.
It is restored.
Yep.
So we're going to pick up on this. I'm going to drill down a little further into imagination with you because what you need to understand, we're going to close in 1 minute. What you need to understand is, you're not transformed by knowledge, church. You're transformed by representing. Memories come from an image you had. That's why you have triggers. They're vivid and concrete. Now, the Bible, and I'm going to close with this, the Bible gives you vivid and concrete pictures. Are you there? Just got chill bumps thinking about that. Were you there when the woman with the issue of blood walked up? Jairus is over here waiting for Jesus to go with him because his little daughter's dying. And she walks up. Are you in the image? Are you getting the picture? Or is it just knowledge to you? Are you letting that drop down and you're getting a picture? How about David and Goliath? What a picture for you. I'll knock your head and I'll take you down. Yeah. Whatever the giant is, it goes down. But you've got to get these images in your head. That way you'll go around saying, I'm going to win. I'm just going to win. Last illustration and I'm out the door. All right. I'm going to run. No. About 30 years old, softball team. I was the fourth person in line to bat. All day long, I went around saying, everybody knows the story. Somebody new may not know it. I got up that day. I said, I'm going to hit a home run tonight. And I was married back then. And my husband said, well, then I'm coming to see it. I said, good. Show up. He's like, okay. So I went to over to my sister's house, and she's on the team too. Sissy, she's on the team. She's third base, by the way. I was first base. Okay. And I said, I'm going to hit a home run tonight. And my brother-in-law said, really? Then I'm coming to the game. I said, show up. So I was a crummy baseball player by then. There were other things going on that were more important, and I'm not going to talk about it. So I went around all day long saying, I'm going to hit a home run tonight. I'm going to hit a home run. All day long I said, I'm going to hit a home run. And everybody showed up, and they're all in the stands. And I didn't think a thing except, I'm going to hit a home run. And I walked up there, and I was the fourth batter, and the bases were loaded, and I hit a grand slam. And we won the game. Because after I hit a grand slam, I hit a triple, and then I hit a double, and then they put me in as the pinch hitter, of course. And I started winning. Started winning in life. I'm going to tell you something right now. We're going to hit a home run. We're going to hit a grand slam. We're going all the way. Victory Church is going to hit a grand slam. Get it in your thinking. We're not sitting in the dugout. We're not sitting in there broken, busted, and yuck. We're going to hit a grand slam. Every one of our children are going to hit a grand slam. And we're going to be in there and win the games. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the offering tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the giver. I ask you to bless the offering. I ask you to bless the tither. Lord, we declare tither's rights over all of those who had the devourer show up. We're not taking it. We declare tither's rights in Jesus' name. And for those that don't tithe, we declare mercy on them in Jesus' name. And we declare they start tithing in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Come on, brothers. You can give online if you want to. Give via text message to BCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link. Complete your gift. You can give cash in an envelope. You can give a check. Make it out to Victory Church. Please do not write in tongues. We will receive the gift. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I do thank you all for all that you give and all that you do and all that you serve. You guys are such a blessing. And we continue to work together. Amen. Father, I pray over anyone who's hurting in their body right now. In the name of Jesus, I command healing to ligaments, to legs, to headaches, to hearing, to anything that's going on in here. Anything my Heavenly Father didn't plant, we cast it out in Jesus' name. With all satanic squatters, we declare in the name of Jesus that any lack has to leave our presence in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. And Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.